All right, everybody, welcome to the inaugural episode of The Sportsman. You've heard about it, we've talked about it, but here it is. We finally did it. I am the Big Ticket, a.k.a. Neil Arnett, a.k.a. Ticket, whatever you want to call me, I don't care. I am joined alongside one of my very good friends, Joey Coldcuts. Introduce yourself.
What's going on, people? As Ticket just said, we've been talking about doing this for a long time. We've finally been able to kind of set things together and make some time for it. And you know, moving forward, I'm really excited. I think this will be a great weekly segment. You know, much to our credit, you know, we do know a lot about sports. You know, just like the average person, we can get behind a lot of different topics and different types of sports. And that's what we're going to be bringing to you week in, week out. You know, we're not going to be bringing the annoying cold takes that you'll get on your FX1 with Cowherd or Skip Bayless. But we definitely probably will have differing opinions, which will make this very interesting. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I think it is too. I mean, not only are you going to get the same old refurbished takes on Skip or on Colin Cowherd, we're going to be talking about everything. Hockey, baseball, all the things, the full nine yards. Football will be our main thing, but we're giving you a wide array of all the sports.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to deep dive into some topics that people probably normally wouldn't cover. And I'm really stoked. You know, we've talked about doing this for a while, and here we are today. And let's get into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
They can have you feeling the most euphoric of highs and feeling the lowest of lows. And yesterday we experienced multiple sensations coincidingly at the same time.
Sure.
Where one person was above the moon and the other wanted to bury his head in shame.
Okay, so I have to say, if I have to pick between the two, I would love for my friends to be above the moon and for me to be down in the dumps. Because I'm not very comfortable trying to pick other people up.
I tried very hard last
but
night.
You did. Well, I wouldn't say very hard because you were very happy with your win, as you should be.
But I caught on probably within 5 to 10 minutes of just observing after I came off that euphoric high.
Yeah.
And after seeing that, I knew that you were not in a good place.
You say 10 to 15. I would say 30 to 35. But that's okay. I mean, it's fine.
And then it was Operation Let's Get Ticket Back on.
Well, no. Okay, so Cutsy just cannot help himself when he's winning. It always comes back to, all right, I hit my picks tonight.
It's a good feeling, you know?
No, of course it is. But that's why I would rather try to get over my own anger and upsetness than try to lift someone else up. Because I'm not very good at that.
No, well, not everybody is. I will say I'm a fun person.
You are very good at it.
I'm a very fun person to bet with. Because
yes.
I'm very team-oriented, I like to root, I like to get excited. I'll try to make sure that the energy level of the room is matching mine, which is very tough to do oftentimes because yeah. I am on a different spectrum than everyone else.
Yes, but we have to admit that in the first 3 to 4 minutes of that Colts game, I had to pick you up.
Yeah, you did.
You were...
I was spiraling.
You were spiraling, and I was like, Cuzzy, there's 55 minutes of football left, and you were down in the...
Well, that is one of the things I think I wanted to talk about today is just how on a Sunday, on an average football Sunday, when we watch the game starting from 10 in the morning and you finish, it's a marathon. It's you start in the morning, the you know expectations are high, you got your bets in, you got your fantasy going, you want your team to win.
Yeah.
And then by the time that late PM game ends, which is around 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, you know, Pacific time?
Yeah, we're
Pacific time.
Pacific time.
It's a long day, and there's an ebb and flow throughout that day that is you have euphoric highs and then you have down lows, and it's just it's mentally and physically exhausting by the end of the day.
Well, especially the way we do it. So for those of you who don't know, I think the way that we do football Sunday is a little more intense than I think probably 95% of the people out there. So the way that me and Cutsy and Robbie and our buddy Showtime and the way that we do it out here is, I mean, you wake up, you think about your bets, you place all your bets, you get excited, you get your bagels and lox, you get your breakfast, and you are ready for the entire day. The whole day is football, nonstop football. Once football starts, you got the red zone. You've got your laptop with the four different of your favorite games going. And it's all you can think about is football. I mean, we love to play golf. We love to do all these different things. We don't get a lot of days off. We both work very hard. Cutsy works harder than all of us. But when it comes to football Sunday, all there is football.
It's tradition. It is a tradition. It is a day that is unlike any other. It's extremely fun. But it also, many people would look at it like the most, I don't even know how it's
It's
sits.
Very fun, but it's also very stressful. If you can't hack it, if you aren't prepared to watch football for 7 to 8 hours straight, you're not invited.
A lot of people can't do that, is what I'm trying to say. It's not for everybody, the way that we go about it. And there's times when I look, I have 2 days off. Mm-hmm. One of those days is a write-off. I'm just thrilled this year, for the first time in a long time, if ever, I get Sundays off because the restaurant's closed on Sundays. Part of the reason I took the job, just an FYI, but for many years, I had to work Sundays, and it was terrible because I wouldn't work till the PM. I'd start at noon or 1 o'clock. And I wouldn't even be able to get the end of the early set of games in, and it was terrible. You're on your phone, you're distracted, and you feel like you've missed out on so much.
Yeah.
Even last week, I wasn't able to partake.
That's right.
I had my Uncle Nick in town visiting for the day, for a couple days, and, you know, I had made plans to go out and spend the day with him, but I just felt like my day was not complete.
That's right.
I knew in the back of my head that you guys were back at Rob's, that you guys were getting after it.
That's right.
And it's just an uncomfortable feeling. And quite frankly, I don't want to experience that again. There's 16 weeks in the fucking year.
So, for those of you who don't understand, me and Robbie and Cuts have been very good friends for a long time. You obviously know that Joe and Robbie are very good friends, but the three of us used to religiously do football Sundays, and I moved away, and I actually finally came back. And the second I come back, either Robbie or Joe always have something going on. It's usually Robbie because he's blowing up right now.
Yeah.
But the one weekend we actually thought we could get everything going together, Joe's uncle.
It was inevitable. There's nothing we could do.
There's nothing we could do. And I, you know, me and Robbie were together. And now Robbie's gone and me and Joe are watching football. So it's unfortunate. You know, we do what we can do. Football is no less intense without one of any of us.
What do you think the percentage would be of your average, you know, 20 to 35-year-old male would be who could actually sit for, 7, 8 hours and hang tight with us and be able to settle in? What do you think the percentage-wise? I think it's low.
I think it's low based on what they do, but I do think that if people were invited into our environment, I think they would live up to the challenge. I think there's a high
percentage. But week in, week out, that's a lot to ask for.
It's
mentally and physically exhausting. Last night, for example, we needed to come back. We were in a rut. We were down, you know, as I normally am.
Down big.
And unfortunately, I am not the most strategic or best person when it comes to placing a wager. So you go with your heart, you know, and you want to just see all those losses be minimalized or diminished. And so oftentimes, even if I don't like the game, you have to pick the Sunday night game and you force it. Last night, we were both looking like we were going to come back. Ticket, unfortunately, did not. not to say anything bad, but he did not come back.
I did not come back. Cutsy came back.
I came back, hit the Colts +3, plus we hit the prize picks. So I went down from being down really, really big to being up.
Well, Cutsy and Robbie historically go down big during the day, and they always make it up with the night game. And that streak continued last night. The 100% streak continued last night.
Well, no, our night game percentage is almost at 100%. With the one exception, with the 1 week I was not there, the Steelers fucked us.
Yes.
But
that was the only week that we really and that was a that was an anomaly. I don't know what the fuck happened there. But if I tell you, if you just went with us on our night games, people would be thrilled.
That's
because
right.
Our record is phenomenal.
You typically save yourself. You cover your losses with the night game.
We rewrite a lot of wrongs.
Yes, you rewrite a lot of wrongs. Well, let's get into some specifics as far as why we were down in the first place with the morning games. There's really only one thing to talk about, and it's the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, so long story short, Ticket wanted to bet on a whole bunch of other things. I had had a phone call with an anonymous individual. We will not say any names or whatnot here.
No, we won't.
But this individual told me that there was a lot of buzz around this pick and that it was potentially being talked about as, quote-unquote, the lock of the century. I don't know what it is when someone says that to you. You could have no interest in the game, and you don't even know where it's coming from. As soon as someone says that, it perks my ears up. It makes me want to get in on it.
Well, especially when this person who will remain nameless is he's as reputable as he is.
Yes.
He's very, very good.
Yes.
He's an excellent handicapper. He's an excellent sports bettor. It's not like I'm saying it or Robbie's saying it.
Or I'm saying it.
Yeah, you're probably a little bit better than both of us, but still, me and Robbie are terrible. This guy is in a reputable source, and he was throwing around the phrase of lock of the century. You do not hear that often.
Yeah.
You hear that, in fact, once every 100 years. And, well, all we can say is it certainly wasn't.
Well, tell the folks what you did.
Well, I...
Ticket did not double down, folks. He, in fact, tripled down with the straight bet.
I got talked into it so badly that all of my picks hit except this one bet that I put in. But I had it in absolutely everything. I added it into my parlays. I had a straight bet
going. This guy was sprinkling the Panthers in like salt to season.
And in the back of my head, I knew that the Giants were more competitive than that. Now, did I see what ended up happening? Of course I didn't. But the Panthers just... I mean, Sam Darnold was an absolute abysmal...
I think
there's
something about
shit.
New York. You just got to get them the hell away as far as possible from New York. To the point where if they ever made the Super Bowl, and if the Super Bowl is in New York, I'd probably start the backup. That's how bad he is in New York. He can't handle the heat.
That's exactly right.
I don't know.
So we lost all our 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock Eastern bets... And then we go on to the 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock Pacific time bets.
I think you need to tell them too in context. The reason that Ticket was so enraged is because not only did he lose, he tripled down on the Panthers, a straight bet and two parlays. But on his parlays, he was literally hitting every single game. And then we turn back to the Panthers, and they're just turning the ball over. Darnold's just, and then to the point where they pulled Darnold in the end of the third quarter, the game was done. So Ticket's watching every single game hit. And it makes it worse. You'd almost rather have a couple losses and you know what? This wasn't the reason I lost.
Yes. Well, you know, it goes back to the old adage is I can live with me picking the wrong bets.
Is that an adage?
I didn't finish it.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I can live with me picking my own wrong bets, but when I take a bet from somebody else and that's wrong, and they tell me it's the lock of a century, I am just furious. It might not be an adage, but we all feel that way. When you take a bet from somebody else, it better be fucking right.
See, I almost prefer taking a bet from someone else because then I have somebody to blame if it doesn't hit.
Yes, that's your whole game. You love
I can say wholeheartedly, this son of a bitch steered me wrong. I don't like to have the onus on myself
because
it's hard to live with yourself when you make a pick and you're so... Like, sometimes I'm vindicated and I'm so certain of a pick, but I'm scared to make it because
You're just looking for a way to lay your head down on the pillow at night and not blame
yourself. I'd like to have somebody to come after, you know? I like a good old scapegoat every once in a while, you know? I don't even know how to breach this topic. We were watching football this week, and guys are missing more kicks and more field goals and more extra points. And
that's right.
To be quite honest, I've ever seen in a long, long time. Like,
yep.
It is... it used to be pretty much a given that people were making the extra points and then the field goals, and they moved the extra point back. And it seems like now, like, people are missing like crazy.
But not this year. They didn't move them back this year.
I know, but I'm saying this year.
No, right, but I'm saying, but it's like, it seems like it's even piling on even more this year.
100%. Yeah. So what I'm getting to with this is, we were talking, and I said, you know, it's got to be hard to kick a field goal, like, because they're missing like crazy, and you just anticipate they're going to make it. And now Ticket goes, and he looks at me, and as certain could possibly be, he goes, I could do that. And I said to him, I said, what in God's name possibly makes you think? So now you tell the people, because I'm not making this up.
I know I can. That's the thing.
But you're talking a 40-yard field goal on a National Football League field. That
all right, people. Now,
into the wind. I mean,
give me an opportunity here to defend myself. I said I get three shots. I can make a 35-yard field goal, no problem. Now, what Cutsy fails to realize is I don't have 300-pound linemen who can run 4.2 40s running at me. I am standing there with nobody. It's just a ball on a little tilt there, holding the ball up. I get to kick 35-yard field goals.
I have to be very clear and specific, because we are going to make a wager on this, because I need to physically see this.
Yes.
It's going to be documented. It's going to be on. It's got to be on some kind of form of social media, whatever you choose. But to be very specific and very clear, you're not getting like a 5-6 run-up start to kick this field goal. You're going to kick it as if you're on the field.
Yes.
So you're getting a 1 or 2 step and then kicking it.
Yes, I exactly set up like a
field. Yeah, there's no running halfway down the field to gain steam and to pound the ball.
This is not a kickoff. This is a field.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, because anybody could go running, barreling down and kick it.
No,
it's got to be a 1 to 2 step. I think they normally take, what, 2 steps, and then they launch into the field goal. And we're going to have to measure this thing, to be honest, too. We're going to have to go. There's a Beverly Hills High School, I think.
They
have the measurements.
The field goal kicker goes 5 yards back and 1 yard
to
the left.
15 yards back. Well, normally, like, wherever the place is, if they're on the 10-yard line, they kick a 15 yards back from the place where the snap is.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying from where the ball is, where the guy's holding the kick, I go back 5 yards and 1 to the left.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes.
Yes.
Now, that means we have to place it on the 35-yard line, correct?
No.
Or are the pole's 5 yards back?
The end zone is 10 yards. And then you hud it back another 7, I think.
Well, you don't need to worry about where it's hudded from. It's going to be placed.
No, yes, you do.
We're not hudding it.
No, but that's how you do a field goal.
I know, but for
it's
this
17 yards plus the yard.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, for the sake of this bet, we don't need someone hudding the ball. It's going to be held.
Yes, you're right.
It's just
going
to be placed, so 1,000%. You don't need to worry about that.
Yes,
you're just
going to
place it, and you're going to take your steps and make the kick.
So it would be on the 25.
That's what I'm
line.
Saying.
Yes.
If it's 10 yards, because you don't need
totally.
To hut the ball. That
correct.
Makes,
correct.
If anything, that's going to make it harder, because you're going to have to time it.
No one's hutting the ball.
Yeah, if you wanted to be real, that's even harder because you're hutting the ball and you have to time it with the placement holder putting it down.
I don't need Tony Romo trying to hold my fucking field goal.
But I still think
you'll
be hard-pressed. Yes. Now, do you have a football cleat or something you're going to wear for this?
I have cleats. I'm going to put the pads on. I have a.
You have football like shoulder pads.
I have a Donovan McNabb jersey that I'm going to throw on.
This is going to be ridiculous. I cannot even imagine this.
I get three tries.
Yeah, no, we said that you're going to get three tries.
But here's my argument, people: it's not that I think I can do it, even though I know that
You think you can do it.
Oh, I know I can do it, but I'm physically gifted. As everybody who's ever watched my Instagram knows. But I think that everyone's selling themselves short. I think Cutsy could do it. I think Rob could do it.
If it's that easy, there would be... Everybody would...
No,
would be a field goal kicker in the NFL.
My argument here is what makes it difficult is that you have 10 300-pound linemen running at you, and you know your team needs the points. My team doesn't need points. There's no linemen running at me.
Wait, man, sometimes you're kicking it into the wind.
Right, and I get three tries to make one kick.
Yeah, but I said this to you yesterday. Three tries sounds like a lot. You miss the first try. Now there's a lot of pressure on you because you know you only have two tries. You definitely do not want it to get to the last try. Because
right.
if it goes to the third attempt, there's so much pressure, you're probably missing it. So it means, realistically, you have to make it in the first two.
Right. Well, you know I'm a mentally weak player. So
That does factor in a little.
So, no, but I'm saying now what I had said earlier was I think all of us could do it. If Cutsy got it on the third try,
I don't know if I could.
I think Cutsy's best try would be his third try.
Well, I do improve with repetition.
I think my best try would be the first try.
You absolutely want to get on the first one. You want to hit it and not even worry about
it. Anyone who knows me knows that I am mentally weak and I have to get it on the first try or I will just continually fall apart on
and
myself.
That is 100% why I said I'm giving you three tries, but in essence, I really think it's going to come down to two because if you don't make the first two tries,
so true.
I truly believe you have no shot. It could be 15 yards. I think you'd shank it.
And you know what? I completely agree.
Yeah.
If it came down to the third shot, I would shank it.
We're going to have to put this, we're going to have to talk. I wish we would have done it today when it was pouring raining. That would have been really beneficial for me, but... Anyways, Ticket owes me 100. We're gonna double it down on the field goal.
So those who don't know, I already owe Cutsy $100 because I picked the Red Sox to win the AL East, and the Rays won considerably. So,
but you know what? To your credit, the Red Sox.
The Red Sox went way further than the Rays.
They stomped the Rays.
Yes, they did. Well, anyway, we won't get into it, but a very controversial play is what a lot of people think propelled the Red Sox past the Rays.
But we will go double or nothing on this field goal kick, and it's like picking candy from a baby. You know, the Red Sox, I had nothing to do with them. I had absolutely nothing to do with the Red Sox and the Rays, but I will absolutely take this one to you, double or nothing. You got what I need, sipping on the potion, all that good emotion. Well, that's going to just about do it for us today, folks. I'm going to let Cutsy take us out, put a nice little bow on it, put a little cherry on top of this ice cream sundae. Button this sucker up, Cutsy, huh? Take us home.
Well, I think, you know, you're a glass half empty guy, if we're being honest.
Yes, I'm a glass half empty guy.
That comes from being in Philadelphia. You've had your heart broken many years from many teams. I am a glass half full guy most of the time. I try to err on the side of positivity with moments of complete despair and utter enrage where I just break down and absolutely lose my shit.
Cutsy is a glass half full guy when it comes to his Packers.
I do.
When it comes to his bets, he is more of a glass half empty guy.
Yeah, I've been burned a few times, and it stings. And when you have a bad history of stuff like that, it's hard to come bounce back from. But I think this podcast is going to be a refreshing opportunity for people to avoid tuning in to the clowns that we watch on a daily basis, the Skip Baylesses and the Colin Cowherds of the world, and tune into the common man who just loves sports and is relatable and someone that you can get behind. There's no hot... freezing cold takes here. We are just going to spit it the way that we see it. And I hope that you keep me in line if I have a bad take. And I know for God's sake, I will keep you in line if you give a cold take. So hopefully between the two of us keeping each other in line and just having fun with this, we can really get onto something. And you know, eventually we're going to want to take your calls. We're going to want to hear from you and your thoughts.
That's right.
And we want you guys to be an integral part of this show as well. But really happy to be out here and doing this for the first time around.
Well done, well said, from the man, the myth, the legend. He's Joey Coldcuts. I'm the Big Ticket. We are the Sportsmen. Have a good one, folks. We'll catch you next week.